Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chubby Caucasian Christian Closeted Conservative. I know I might be everything wrong with the world, but all I ask is that you hear me out and make up your own mind. I believe religion is under attack in this country, and more specifically, Christianity. And it's a shame because those are the morals and ethics that our country was founded on. There are two people right now that you can say whatever you want about, and it's not sort of any racism or bigotry or biasy, and that is, well, it's always been cis white men, but Christians, and any sort of African-American conservative. We can call them whatever we want. And I hate to break it to you, this is a topic for a completely different show, is cis women. You guys are next on the list. It's happening right now in your sports. Anybody who speaks out against any sort of biological male playing in female sports, you'll be labeled transphobic or a bigot of some sort, and you will be shunned. And when it comes to African-American conservatives, look at everything that they said about Tim Scott. It's just some of the most disgusting, appalling things that if a conservative ever said it about Obama or Kamala Harris or whatever, it would be hate speech. But at this moment in time, you can pretty much say whatever you want about Jesus, Christ, God, Christians, just in general. Just throw them all in one big heap. Poke fun at them, and that is acceptable. Does not get you removed from social media. No one, you don't face any backlash. No one encourages you not to do that. So I actually have seen a West Wing clip going around. It's from 2000, and apparently it's a big gotcha moment. I've seen it post on a lot of social media. Usually it's by radical progressives, people who claim to be atheists but are actually just very anti-Christian. But I want to play the clip for you and then talk about some Bible verses that immediately jumped into my mind while I was watching this and afterwards.
I like your show. I like how you call homosexuality an abomination.
I don't say homosexuality is an abomination, Mr. President. The Bible does.
Yes, it does. Leviticus
18:22.
Chapter and verse. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions while I had you here. I'm interested in selling my youngest daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. She's a Georgetown sophomore, speaks fluent Italian, always cleared the table when it was her turn. What would a good price for her be? While thinking about that, can I ask another? My chief of staff, Leo McGarry, insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly says he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or is it okay to call the police? Here's one that's really important, because we've got a lot of sports fans in this town. Touching the skin of a dead pig makes one unclean, Leviticus 11:7. If they promise to wear gloves, can the Washington Redskins still play football? Can Notre Dame? Can West Point? Does the whole town really have to be together to stone my brother John for planting different crops side by side? Can I burn my mother in a small family gathering for wearing garments made from two different threads? Think about those questions, would you? One last thing. Well, you may be mistaking this for your monthly meeting of the ignorant, tight-ass club. In this building, when the president stands, nobody sits.
For those of you listening on audio only, after Martin Sheen's character berates this woman, she eventually stands up because he says, when the president stands in this White House, no one sits. But looking at it from a Christian perspective, it's interesting that they focused a lot on Leviticus and Deuteronomy because there are things in the New Testament that they could have applied this to as well. And it's a shame that the female in this scene is not versed enough in the Bible to combat any of these misconceptions and verses taken out of context. The main thing that we have to understand here is when Jesus came and died and rose from the grave, he did not abolish the Old Testament law, but he merely fulfilled it. So let me give you an example. If you have an acorn, there are two ways that you can get rid of that acorn. You can destroy it, basically. You can light it on fire, run it over with a car, smash it with a hammer, you know, smash it on rocks, step on it, whatever you want to destroy the acorn. But you can also plant it in the ground, water it, give it sunshine, take care of it, and it will grow into a tree. It has reached its full potential in life. Now, you're saying, John, well, you know, it's still an acorn. Is it? Is it still an acorn, or did it grow into a tree? Has it only reached its full maximum potential. Because I would say Jesus does something similar in Matthew 5. That's where he tells us that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he ups the ante for Christians. He raises the bar. He holds Christians to a higher standard than what the Old Testament law dictated. If we followed Old Testament Jewish law, you would actually only be a murderer if there was a dead body. Like, you would actually have to kill someone and take their life from them. Whereas Jesus says, if you are angry with someone, then you have already committed murder against that person. He also touches a lot on lust and greed. And even in, like, the Beatitudes, he talks about all raising the bar for Christians that bring the Old Testament Jewish law to fulfillment. Matthew 7 is also very powerful. These were the first two verses that came to me. Well, the third is Matthew 22. These three immediately came to my mind. Matthew 7, Jesus talks a lot about how we should treat each other, not out of judgment, but out of love. He talks about the plank in your eye and the speck in your brother's. Then in Matthew 22, it's one of my favorite verses to bring up in religious conversations with individuals, the golden rule. Let me just set the scene for you. So this Pharisee comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, tell us what is the most important law of the Old Testament. What is the greatest of these laws?" And I just have to imagine that Jesus just smirked just for a second and turned around and looked at this man. Remember, he knows everything about this man from childhood. Every hair on his head is numbered. Jesus knows every number. Every struggle, every conflict, every good and bad relationship this man has ever had, Jesus was there with him, all-knowing, all-seeing, and is aware of it. And he tells him the most important law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And according to Jesus, this should supersede all laws. So seeing how the law has been fulfilled and not abolished, we have to keep that in mind as we move on to some of the other allegations that West Wing makes. Jesus commanded that man was Lord of the Sabbath. In fact, one of the most outrageous things that Jesus did was heal people on the Sabbath. In fact, one of Jesus's final miracles was healing the man with the shriveled arm on the Sabbath in the synagogue. And when he was approached by the Pharisees, he showed absolutely no remorse, called them out on it, and said, "If your son were to fall in a well on the Sabbath, would you leave him there today? Why is it such a bad thing to do good on the Sabbath?" After this incident and many other incidents, the crowd and Pharisees actually pick up stones and are ready to stone Jesus right then and there. We are talking about radical death sentence type defiance of old Jewish Testament law. Touching the skin of a dead pig would have been more acceptable than anything that Jesus was doing. The Pharisees actually list this in their accusations to Pilate about why he should be crucified. And it gets even crazier because our Lord would then go on to deny the very laws of death and rise again 3 days later from the grave, proclaiming victory over death. So keeping all of that in mind, all of this defiance of Old Testament law, the fulfillment of all of these laws, we move on to Apostle Paul, New Testament letters that he wrote to Rome, the Romans, and Timothy. This is where the conversation should have really taken place between Martin Sheen and the female character. Paul in his letters 100% reinforces this. Reinforces the idea of fulfillment of law. And he lays out guidelines in both of his letters to Timothy of how a church should act. Unfortunately, his plan is perfect. God's plan is perfect, but it's being executed by imperfect humans, which is why we have so much hurt and pain and suffering and mistakes made in the church today is because imperfect humans are trying to execute a perfect plan. Just a side note, Paul also encourages and confirms the fulfillment of many Jewish laws. And in fact, He angers many of them, and the majority of his letters come from a jail cell. He touches on slavery, the treatment of widows, women, elderly, money, and everyone's involvement in the church. The first three chapters in Romans, Paul lovingly encourages the leaders of the church to step up their game and continue to save souls. But he has a few grievances with them. In these grievances, he equates sexual impurity to gossip, disobeying your parents, and several others, and encourages them that these are things that they need to work on in the church. If Martin Sheen's character wanted to bring up this whole idea of homosexuality, this would have been the place to do it. And what the response should have been was, have you read Romans 2 and 3? In chapters 2 and 3, he pulls a little bit of a gotcha moment and states at one point that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Another thing that I would encourage these anti-Christian folks out there is Jesus, Paul, Peter, and James are very repetitive about community, this idea of Jews and Gentiles coming together to form one body of God. The fulfillment of Old Testament law is centered on the idea of the church as one body. Relationships and community are very important in the New Testament and are just, it's just spoken about so much. And the reason it is so important is because when you are in community and in fellowship with one another, that is where real attempts of accountability should happen. If we look at Jesus, he spent time with prostitutes and tax collectors, people that are hated. He went out and had dinner with them and sat there and listened to them and talked to them, and then would heal them and ask them to go and sin no more. If these letters that Paul does write offends you, look at them from his perspective. He founded the church in Rome. He was a mentor to Timothy for years. He is writing these letters to men that he has very strong bonds with. He is writing letters to men that most likely hold him accountable as well. It would be very similar to me to reaching out to a friend, a very close friend, and encouraging them to make good decisions and probably going to this friend when I needed help or when I was in a difficult situation and needed help making a decision. In college, I was surrounded by a lot of godly men, and we all held each other accountable with so many sinful things, including sexual purity. So I say all that to ask individuals who attack Christianity a few questions. First, let me just ask the few to the woke Democrats that idolize this character. Is Martin Sheen's character, is he mansplaining to this woman what she should think and do? Is he telling her what to do with her body, that she should stand up? Is this any sort of toxic masculinity, berating and talking down to this woman? Or is it acceptable because she is a Christian? Or is it acceptable because you believe that she is a hypocrite? I just need confirmation on when I'm allowed to berate and belittle a woman. So that would be my question for the woke radical people out there. Now let's ask a few questions of the smaller group of individuals who claim to be atheists but actually appear to only hate Christians. When it comes to a lot of these laws, ideals, especially when it comes to Old Testament, these are still taught in the Quran and Torah. I just want to know if we hold those religions to the same accountability. Do you critique those religions as closely as you do Christianity? Because let me tell you what, Islamic law is much more radical than this idea of turning away from sinful nature when it comes to sexual impurity. Just do any sort of research on Islamic law within Afghanistan and Iran. Just look at their treatment of women and homosexuals, anybody who's trans. It's not good. It's not good. Whereas the Christian faith has improved many people's lives, is the foundation of U.S. law and tradition. This idea of helping and giving out the needy has affected other countries in this world. There has never been an organization more willing to give and help others than the Christian church. That includes all denominations. And let's just be honest, all of this is biblical. Every time Christianity is critiqued, every time an individual is attacked because of their Christian faith, prophecies are being fulfilled, and we are taking steps closer to the times that Revelation speaks of. Thank you so much for joining me today. Remember to rate, like, comment, and subscribe. Look for me on social media. Just search the Chubby Caucasian Christian Closeted Conservative and look for my eagle. I had a family member paint that eagle, and I loved it so much that she gave me the original. So please, she has a Redbubble account. She's very patriotic, loves the Lord. Please go over to Redbubble, search Robin N. Brown. That's Robin as the bird and Brown as the color. And just check out some of her artwork. She has a beautiful new eagle that's holding the American flag. And please get involved on social media. I recently had one of my most controversial posts. Who would have thought posting a link to the GOP primary, the first GOP primary debate, would have been so controversial? But if you have not been involved in that conversation, please look for it on social media. I had libs and conservatives all attacking me, saying that it was crazy that I would post this, and all I said was be an educated voter and watch the debate. I recently also just got kicked off of Mastodon, and that was one of the posts that they said was spreading misinformation, was the primary debate. And all I said was be an educated voter. Anyhow, thank you again for joining me today, and we will see you later.